You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca. He's Anthony Pusick. Apologies for yesterday. Life gets in the way sometimes. Weren't able to hook up with EJ today. We'll try again tomorrow. And I guess we should let everybody know now what our plan is for Friday. I guess we'll remind you on Wednesday. But we're going to try to do the podcast as late as possible. It had been suggested on social media if we did something like on YouTube Live. Listen, it's not going to work because the deadline's at 3 o'clock. Anthony and I have a show called The Michael Kay Show at 3. So we're going to try to record it as late as possible. So here's the plan, Anthony. We're going to record at 2 o'clock on Friday. That's an hour before the deadline, and get you caught up on everything that's going on. Usually it takes us about a half hour to do the podcast. So we'll be off by 2:30. So obviously things can happen after that we might not be able to get to until Monday. But at least try to push it as far as we can to the deadline to try to get you caught up on all the possible trades that are happening for Friday's podcast.
I love what you're saying.
You love it.
I do. It makes sense. Look, I think Don and Peter, Michael and Peter can handle the show themselves, but you know, I don't know if we'll get the approval to do so.
I think it's going to be a pretty active deadline, and I think a lot of it's going to be done before we get to Friday. But that's usually how it goes, but that doesn't mean things won't be happening on the day of the deadline.
And because our insiders told us that Lindy Ruff was going to get fired, we figured it'd be better to do the podcast today because we knew this was going to happen, obviously, and then we wanted to make sure that we got everybody up on what was going on after the news broke around 5 o'clock yesterday.
Yeah,
no knowledge of this happening.
I guess it's no surprise because there's always going to be collateral damage. I haven't done the homework comparing it to other sports, but just to me, covering all the sports, Anthony, the most transient of head coaching positions or manager positions are in the NHL. It's an easy thing to fix. We're having a disappointing season. Let's let them go. They just gave him a contract extension. I almost felt like out of obligation. Maybe it was because they wanted to at least show stability to Timo Meier or any other free agents during the offseason. I don't know. But they're going to eat whatever was left on the contract, which is interesting because they just said there was a multi-year extension. We never knew how many years. Might have been just one. I don't know. But they're obviously eating some amount of money with Lindy. But sometimes you just do what you have to do, Anthony. I mean, they got a young team. There's a lot of reasons beyond coaching why this team is out of a playoff spot and likely is going to miss the playoffs and squelch any momentum they gained last year. But you're not going to fire everybody. You're not going to let go of the general manager. It's the easiest of things to do. We'll see what Travis Green can do here in the last 20-some-odd games left of the season. And then during the offseason, it'll be very interesting who is going to, you know, try to right this ship moving forward.
Well, it was interesting, right, Don? Because we kind of talked about it when the season started of, is this team going to take the next step for the Devils? And if they aren't, what's that going to mean for Lindy Ruff? Now, the extension led you to believe that they had faith in what he was doing and that last year was a step in the right direction for this team. And it turns out that a bad season actually did him in. And to no fault of his own, I would say, I'm sure that there are Devil fans, Harvey Cruz and many others, who would point to things that he did that they didn't like, whether it would be putting Meier on the wing or benching players or keeping Holtz down on the fourth line that they weren't really appreciating. But you know what? For a defensive-minded head coach to lose your best defenseman, right, to have two 20-year-olds, to not have any goaltending that we knew from the beginning, and many others did too, as to why people were hesitant to say this Devils team was going to take the next step this year, is because you don't really trust the goaltending. And lo and behold, one of their bigger issues, along with the fact that they don't have the defensive core they expected, is their goaltending is not holding up. All three goalies that have played a majority of their games this year have an under 900 save percentage. That's not going to get it done in the NHL. Is it Lindy's fault? No. Did I think that he deserved a contract extension after last year? And you take a look at his record, he's just over 500 in his time with the Devils. He was on a rebuilding team. He took his lumps and got them to where they were. No, I wouldn't say so, but I didn't necessarily think he was the answer before last year. And I think that the Devils may have felt the same way. We heard multi-year extension. Was it 2 years? 3 years? Are they eating just next year? We have no idea.
Don't know.
Clearly it was enough for Tom Fitzgerald to say, we're good, and we're going to move on and go a different direction.
And it shouldn't, again, be surprising based on what other teams have done this year. You take a look at what the Islanders did. Letting go of Lane Lambert, similar situation. Same thing was done in St. Louis, similar situation. Nashville, Los Angeles Kings, all letting go of coaches, you know, either during the offseason or early this year, you know, based on just not living up to the expectations. Now, you know, the Kings are a playoff team. Predators are a playoff team. I mean, Blues still mathematically alive, 5 points back with a game in hand. You saw Calgary make a change at the end of last year. Minnesota made a change this year. I mean, it's just what happens in the NHL. You underachieve. It works this way. Most of the time, the team, the coach that wins the Jack Adams Trophy for Coach of the Year is the coach that looked like he overachieved with his team. When you underachieve with your team, you get fired. That's just the way that it works. And again, I don't want to get into a whole ageism discussion, but you know, Lindy's been around for a long time. It's a young team. It didn't feel like Heischer and Hughes were on the same page with Lindy. So does it mean they'll try to go after a younger coach? Will the stars of this team maybe kind of have a say on who the next coach is going to be, considering both are, you know, under contract for a while and Heischer is the captain of the team? The Devils are in a very unique situation, Anthony, that teams like the Rangers and some of the other bigger market teams aren't under, and that is they can allow this thing to mature for as long as they want it. There isn't a ton of pressure on the outside applied to this team to win now. They've been rebuilding for a long time. There hasn't been that rush. There hasn't been that, oh, go out and get Panarin and let's escalate the rebuild the way the Rangers did. They can take their time. But eventually, the fan base is going to react. And I think after what happened last year, to take that step back, Anthony, to just sit there and not do something about it, eventually it can affect the attendance, it can affect the way the team is perceived. So they might be able to give it the slow burn, but at some point you're going to hit the filter, right? You're just going to run out of cigarette and you're going to burn your lips. I mean, that's the analogy I'll use, is that they could do that. And I think that it finally came to it. I think the realization after a bad loss to the Ducks, followed up by a loss to the Kings, you've got the Panthers coming in tonight. Now, maybe they catch a break. It's the Panthers on the second of back-to-backs. Actually, might not be a bad money line ice pick tonight to pick the Devils, just because the Panthers are in
plus
the second of back-to-backs.
You're not getting much value there.
What's that?
I mean, you're getting plus money, but it's plus 102. So clearly,
People are thinking the way I'm thinking. But you know, but still, on the surface, it's like, you know, they're probably going to lose a third in a row. They've got games in hand, but still, you're looking at the Devils sitting here 8 points back of Tampa for the last wild card spot, and 8 points back of Philadelphia for third. Now they've got two games in hand on Tampa and Philadelphia. They're done. They're cooked. So. And they also have to make a decision now with Fitzgerald, who has a contract extension. Are you buying or selling? And I think now to buy for anything that would be just a short-term fix this year would be a huge mistake.
No, again, unless it's for a guy like Markstrom. I don't see how you're looking at a team that probably isn't making the playoffs this year. If you're Calgary, you already traded Tanev, so it seems like you're in the mood. You're in the mode, I should say, of... We're okay with selling off pieces. We don't see ourselves going very far. If you think Markstrom is not part of your future or you can get more back for him, are the Devils really the team that you're trying to do that with? Now, if the answer to that is yes, even if it's not helpful for this year, I think Markstrom is a goalie that the Devils would be holding on to for a longer period of time than just this year. But would he get traded to them? I don't see that happening. I see Tyler Toffoli probably going back to LA. There was already rumblings of that. This team, injuries or not, there was something missing. They didn't take that next step, and maybe if they were healthy, we wouldn't be having this discussion. Maybe they would be there with Philly. Maybe they would be there with Tampa and Detroit in the wild card knocking on the door, because they're only 8 points out. And I say only because there are so many leads that they've blown. There were so many games that they got behind so early. They didn't have Jack Hughes for most of the season, it feels like, because when they were really struggling, when Heisher and Hughes were out, they were non-competitive. And that's really tough to lose your two top forwards and expect to be competitive. Now, they were in an unenviable position, Don, because like I said, I don't know how much faith people had in Lindy Ruff. There was fire Lindy chance 3 years ago. Now, can you fire a coach after beating the crosstown rival and making it to the second round of the playoffs? No, I guess you really can't. I mean, if Tom Fitzgerald really had conviction and said, you know what, I think Lindy's taken this team as far as we can go. We're going to go with Green. We're going to go with Andrew Burnett before he jumped ship and went somewhere else. Did he have that foresight? Maybe. Hindsight now is 20/20, and maybe that would have ended up being the right decision. But you know what? It looked like they were going in the right direction. The team seemed to like him, but everything kind of just fell apart this year, and it was a perfect storm, and one good season is not going to save right. you in this town.
No, it's not. So they obviously move on.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And it's starting to become a reality for some of these teams as we get later. You know, Pittsburgh had a bad close to their Western Canadian trip. Now they come home and take on a Blue Jackets team. Blue Jackets playing the second of back-to-back. So Pittsburgh's still mathematically alive. But at this point, you just wonder, what are they going to do? They a lot of talk that they're going to trade Guentzel at the deadline. I don't see any reason to hold on to him. They sit 10 points out of a playoff spot. But again, four games in hand on Tampa, four games in hand on Philadelphia. So I guess that gives you a reason to believe. But it's not going to happen. So I think the Devils, the Penguins, the Sabres, these are teams that are coming to the realization it's not going to happen. Washington as well. The Islanders, I guess they'll, you know, they made the coaching change. There's not a lot they can do. They sit 6 points back at Tampa with three games in hand. So I'll give the Islanders maybe a chance to do
big
something.
Big game tonight against the Blues at home.
No, that is a big game.
For both
game.
Of them.
And we'll see, yeah, for the Blues as well. But I think the reality is starting to sink in with these teams that it's probably better to either stay pat or sell than to try to go after, you know, some kind of fugazi run here. Islanders, will give it a little bit of time before we get to Friday. But if the Islanders were to lose tonight, then I think the reality might set in for them. That's a 7:30 at home against the St. Louis Blues. Blues are here on the West Coast to take on
10:50 for you Islanders.
The local teams. That's right. And then the Islanders' next game.
Well, yeah, here's what it is, Don. Say they beat the Blues tonight.
Oh, they go out west.
Right.
The Islanders go out west.
They play the Sharks, okay? If you beat the Blues and lose to the Sharks, first of all, I think if you lose to the Sharks, I think the writing's on the wall. And I don't think they will. I think Patrick Waugh's finally clicked with this team a little bit here and kind of seen what he has and what he doesn't have. And they've kind of established a way to play. Look, they beat the Bruins shockingly. Kyle Palmieri, natural hat trick. Unbelievable game over the weekend
right.
that Michael Kay was attending. That shows you that they have, and the Bruins, of course, have had their struggles of recent. They showed you that they've figured out a way to play here under Patrick Waugh. If they beat the Blues and beat the Sharks, maybe there's some life. If they split, it depends on what the split looks like. Do they lose to the Blues and beat the Sharks? I think a loss to the Sharks kind of tells you this is not a team that we're going to be putting assets into to try and make a playoff.
But that's why tonight is so huge, because if you beat the Blues, you should be able to beat the Sharks. Now you've won five in a row. Then you know, I haven't looked at the schedule, whether it's the Ducks or the Kings next. But
quack
then,
quacks on Sunday.
Right. Then you, now you're talking six, and now you're on fire, right? I mean, that's what you got
to
be looking
back.
At here.
Ugh. Ducks yeah. on Sunday, Kings on Monday.
Yeah, but that's going to happen. That makes sense. And the Kings are not very good at home, so it's not
that's
that crazy.
True.
You know, we all thought the Devils were going to find a panacea going out west, and they ended up losing to the Ducks and the Kings.
And what did that do?
You know, they put up a touchdown against the Sharks, but you know, what was that? Sharks have only won once in their last 10. I mean, that's a gimme. But the Duck game was awful. The way it lost, the loss with the penalty shot late with Hughes missing on that, and it was just an ugly game. And then they had nothing against the Los Angeles Kings. So we'll keep the Islanders alive. I think everybody else is probably feeling dead. The big game last night, Panthers and the Rangers. We didn't get a chance to talk about it off the air, Anthony, but I thought it was a great game. I thought it was a fun game. It was tied at 2 in the third period. Rangers take advantage of a power play. Kreider scores, and they tie the game at 2. And then a non-call leads to a turnover that leads to, I know it might have deflected off a Trouba's skate, but probably a goal that Igor would like to have back off of Lomberg. And then I thought the ice was tilted late. Where the Rangers had the extra attacker. I thought Zibanejad played very well with the extra attacker. He started double shifting, but Bobrovsky was really good. And then once the Panthers get that lead, Anthony, they really lock it down. Even though the ice was tilted, the Rangers only had 6 shots on goal in the third period. I think they were outshot 12-6 in that third period. So, it's a tough one. Essentially, another one goal loss to the Panthers. So I think they can hang with these teams. But we were looking at this as maybe the final audition before the trade deadline, and I think that they're going to be hell-bent on making some changes. You're getting very little production out of your bottom six, and you're relying way too heavily on that second line with Trocheck, Lafreniere, and Panarin. Happened again last night, not playing well 5-on-5, relying way too much on the special team stuff. That they need to make a couple of deals here. And even though they played, I thought, a spirited game, a fun game, you just see, I think, they're just a little short against these elite teams, and they need to make a deal.
Well, so much to unpack there, Don, and I agree with you. I actually think, and I don't know if you agree with me, I know you were there, I think the Rangers lost this game in the second period. I know it was tied. I don't know they managed to tie it up in the second period, but they lost it, and here's why. There's way too much extra strength play in that period. They took way too many penalties, and they were on the power play once, which was, of course, helpful for them because Kreider got the goal, but what it did was, I was sitting there listening to the game, and I said, I haven't heard Panarin's name, I haven't heard Trocheck's name, I haven't heard Lafreniere's name, because for an uninterrupted, like 6 or 7 minutes in the second, it was all penalty kill. It completely jumbled up the lines in the sense of you had the guys that were killing the penalties and did a pretty good job, all things considered, until an unbelievable play by Barkov and then Sam Reinhart back-to-back. It felt like those two gut punches kind of took the wind out of the Rangers' sails. They just couldn't establish anything in that second period, and it's hard to get your legs under you against this Panthers team to begin with. So if you can't roll your lines, that's a problem. Then you get to the third. Yeah, it's a goal Igor would like to have back. That game could have been a lot worse. He made a lot of great saves in that game.
He did.
Not taking anything away from the fact that that was a horrible goal to give up. And it stinks to lose on that because I think there are way bigger problems at the present moment than Igor's play, which has been fantastic of late. I'm glad that the Rangers won't have delusions of grandeur here. And it was talked about from Larry Brooks and all the other writers of they've had these win streaks. It looks like they could beat everybody. But then you have that lull in January. And you don't beat the Maple Leafs when you have a chance. And you don't close it out against the Panthers at home when it's 2-2 going into the third. It's clear that they need something. I know you said Zibanejad had a good extra strength minute there in the third, Don. But that line, once again, was pretty absent. Will Cooley had the power play goal. Kreider had the power play goal. 5-on-5, the whole team did nothing. And again, I think that's a result of what happened in the second.
Yeah.
But yes, I think deals have to be made. Larry Brooks has indicated that Alex Wennberg is on the Rangers' radar. There's indications that Frank Vetrano is a very steep price that Drury doesn't want to go to at the moment. We'll see what that does. But if you can get Alex Wennberg and Frank Vetrano, and then there was a crazy rumor by Elliot Friedman that Alex Tuck could be in the mix. And you'd have to believe that that would have something to do with longer-term players because he's, I think, under contract for 2 or 3 more years at like a $5 million cap hit. So that's not somebody that you're just going to be throwing in some prospects for. You're probably going to have to turn something around the other way, whether that be Kako, Gaudreau, or something along those lines to make that work. Something has to be done, and maybe these games came at the right time for the Rangers. You have 4 days now to sit on this and think about it, and you lost to the Maple Leafs, and you lost to the Panthers at home, and you see that those are two teams you're going to probably have to run through at some point, maybe, maybe not in the playoffs, and you're going to need more 5-on-5. And I don't think the Drury was clueless to that fact to begin with, but I think it's nice that it happened now. I don't think they got blown out. I think 5-on-5, they were severely deficient, but I think that there were two good games, like you said, Don. They opened up the eyes to hopefully the front office that something needs to happen in order to go where they want to go this year. And the first line has to be better, no question.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, Wennberg's a nice player. Can play multiple positions, can play on the power play, gives you a ton of minutes. But Vetrano's the guy that I look at. He's been here before. He was a part of the team that went to the conference final. He's got 29 goals. He's a minus player, but he's also on one of the worst teams in the NHL. So that's the guy that I think I'd want to have, the reuniting of that. Roslovic's a nice player, but I think they just need a little bit more pop. They do. And he was so good in their run to the conference final a couple of years ago. Again, I don't know what the asking price is, but as you said, Larry thinks Vetrano's a better chance than Henrique. But something's going to happen here, maybe a couple of different things, too, that can happen. I think another defenseman would be nice as well, although probably not clearly the need that center and right wing will be. So
some news here from Lou Lamoriello, Don, from Arthur Staple of The Athletic. Quote from Lou Lamoriello about 50 minutes ago. We're taping here at 11:59. If we can add, we will. Are we going to subtract? Absolutely not. So whether or not you think the Islanders are contenders or not, they're certainly not selling off. So whether that means they're going to stand pat and see what they can do with the roster they have, okay. If they see a place to add, they will. But they are not subtracting. This is not a selling team. The Islanders are going to try and make a push here.
And I think that's worth it. I do. I think they've won three in a row. You've already made your coaching change. I don't know really what they have that's overly attractive to sell that's gonna move the needle all that much. So I because of the games in hand, because of the schedule here, Blues are on the outside looking in for the playoffs. The first couple of games on the West Coast trip are against the also Rans in the NHL. Have a chance to maybe win 5-6 in a row here, make it interesting down the stretch. I think you owe it to the fans to do that. You've got a new building. You're trying to get people into the building, get people excited about your team. I just don't think selling is necessarily going to move the needle enough. And we'll see if there's anything out there for them to get. If I were to guess, I would say they let it lie and go with what they have here, especially if they continue to win here down the stretch. But I think that's probably the best way to go about it.
It's certainly not going to be a sell, and it's not in the traditional buy either, right, Don? Like, I think that this is if you don't very rarely see teams that are trying to make the playoffs trade with each other, but the Islanders are looking for kind of an improvement here while also giving away a piece they don't want. So you have to find the right trade partner here. You're not in the market that the Rangers are in or even that the Devils are in for a goaltender. You're in the market of, we don't think that this player has it for us anymore, and we're trying to trade him and get something back where maybe we could fix your project that you don't think is going to be is worth it. Is that Oliver Wahlstrom? Is Brock Nelson's name getting thrown out there just for the sake of this is a movable piece that can bring something back for this team? They're not going to be giving away assets. This team has way too many holes to be trading away draft picks or prospects in order to attempt to make a run in an 8 seed. I know they have one of the best goalies in the National Hockey League in Sorokin, but I don't see any one move they make getting them to a point where they could say, yeah, we're going to beat the Florida Panthers or the Carolina Hurricanes or the New York Rangers in a first-round series. And Lou's smarter than that. Lou's not going to be selling, trading off pieces that could help him down the road in order to make a small push with Patrick Watt of the playoffs this year. I think there's a bigger picture to look at here. But just interesting that he would say that.
Yeah, for sure, and I appreciate that. Now take a look at the games tonight. We talked about the Devils and the Panthers, and we'll see what happens with the Panthers in the second of back-to-backs. I thought Bobrovsky was really good last night, and obviously he will not go tonight, but you know, Panthers can get their 90th point with a victory at the Rock. We'll see if Travis Green has any kind of impact on the Devils. We talked about the Penguins as well, home against the Blue Jackets, must win for them, although I think it's too little too late at this point. 7:30 Oilers and the Bruins in Boston. What a sexy matchup that is. That should be fun to see those two teams go at it. Islanders and Blues, we talked about. How about the Predators, Anthony? 8 straight wins. They're home against the Canadiens tonight. A chance to make it 9 straight. Obviously, they're not going to be selling.
Yeah, Saros is going nowhere.
And, you know, right now, they've got 72 points, tied with the Kings in the wild card race, and a 5-point lead on St. Louis. St. Louis does have a game in hand, so Nashville is not comfortable by any stretch of the imagination. But still could be a lot of fun. They're kind of locked into the wild card because I don't think they're going to be catching any of the top teams in the Central Division. But, boy, this eight-game winning streak came at the absolute right time, and I think it's really changed everything. They just gave Novak a contract extension. They were seconds away from trading him.
It was a Rangers target, if I remember correctly.
Right, but because of the win streak, they decided to sign him to an extension. So everything has changed. And I guess that, Anthony, is why a lot of these teams, like the Islanders, like the Penguins, like the Blues, have pause about selling because they think, well, if we rattle off 5-6 in a row, you know, we could be the Predators. We can jump right back into this thing. I mean, I think that's what the Islanders are looking at. Islanders are saying, we've won three in a row. There's a very good chance with if we can beat the Blues, we can make this 5 or 6 in a row, and we become Nashville. We all of a sudden can jump back into things here. So the deadline not coming at the perfect time for some of these teams, but actually was perfect for Nashville to be able to get this winning streak and be able to make their decision now. If they were just starting their winning streak at this second, Anthony, they probably would have to sell.
Yep,
but because
right.
It happened a couple of weeks ahead of time, now they feel like it's worth seeing this thing through.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Something else that caught my eye, Don, you mentioned that the Blue Jackets are on a back-to-back. Real quick here, scale of 1 to 10, concern level for the Vegas Golden Knights.
You know, they got Eichel back last night. Didn't seem to matter. They gave up two quick goals early, then came right back and tied the game, and then Columbus kind of dominated the rest of the way. I'm not feeling this team making any kind of a run,
okay.
Honestly. I'm not. Listen, they have all the pieces that they had last year. They're getting healthier, but...
Well, I guess your concern level then is low in the sense of you don't think that they're going anywhere necessarily.
Well,
but
or high based on the fact that I don't think they're going anywhere.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I just don't think that they are... I don't look at Vegas. Put away what happened last year. What happened last year happened. I don't know if it applies to this year. They're not Winnipeg. They're not Dallas. They're not Colorado. They're not Vancouver. They're like Edmonton, you know, and you probably give Vegas a little bit more of a nod because of the fact they won last year over Edmonton, but they've played 62 games. You know, Edmonton right now has got a 3-point lead for second place in the Pacific Division with 3 games in hand, you know, so, and now Vegas might very well drop to the, you know, could end up dropping to the wild card depending on what happens here with the Kings. I mean, the Kings have 2 games in hand on Vegas, so... Anthony, we're talking about a team that, if I had to guess, I think they're probably going to be a wild card team. Now, does Aiden Hill, even though he's got a ring, make me feel like that this is a team that's going to be really scary in the postseason when it just hasn't really, outside the beginning of the year? I mean, they haven't played well for a long time here.
I know. You want to face them in the first round? Maybe
no,
I'm wrong.
You don't,
I don't want to face them in the first round.
Hey, you know what they kind of are, even not well, maybe you could say kind of the same pedigree, like the Lightning, right?
Yeah.
Like you look at the Lightning, you look at the coach, right? They're exceptionally well coached. Cassidy's a tremendous coach, and you look at the fact that they won last year. They're a perennial playoff team throughout their history, where they missed once in the years that they've been together. But if you look at what they are right now, which is the only real thing that matters, yeah, you don't want to have to play them in the first round. But are they making a run? Are they? Among the elite teams in this conference, no.
I could see them taking out a team if they make the wild card. I could see them taking out that team in the Central, whether it be the Jets, the Stars, or the Avalanche, because we've seen each of those teams kind of have that run where they don't have it, much like Vegas. I could see Vegas taking them down, and then the problem is that West team, in my opinion, that Central team kind of has a path to the Western Conference Final, because I think whoever loses, the team that wins in that other matchup, they would probably very easily beat Vegas in the second round. But again, we're way down the line here. It seems like the Kings have figured things out. They're 7-3-0 in their last 10, which is why we're having this conversation. We thought the Kings were dead and buried in the wild card and we're just going to stay there.
They fired their coach.
But Vegas has really taken a turn here with no Stone, and we don't know even if Stone's going to come back for the playoffs. We all know the conspiracy theorists think that this is all...
Well, that's what everybody said when he went on the long-term IL.
But, you know, lacerated spleen is lacerated spleen, right?
I know. You know, it almost killed Sean Avery back in the day, if you remember. I'm not high on them, but again, you got 20 games left to prove me wrong, right? What are we saying about Nashville? All of a sudden, they rattle off 8 in a row. The Devils, essentially, last year made the playoffs based on that long winning streak. I mean, it's streaky. You've got now the thing is the trade deadline's coming up on Friday, so decisions have to be made. But overall, Vegas knows they're most likely a playoff team, and they've got 20 games to make us all change our mind. That's a lot. That's a quarter of the season, Anthony. I mean, like 20 games is not nothing. I know it compared to the 62 that they've already played, it doesn't seem like a lot, but 20 games is plenty of time to right your ship, get hot. It's also plenty of time for you to just sink deeper into a malaise. So I know the deadline has kind of put a sense of urgency that we're kind of close to the end of the season. We're really not. I mean, there's still a lot of hockey to be played. A lot of things can definitely change and happen, and I'm kind of looking forward to all of it.
Oh, yeah, me too. Absolutely. I mean, this is a fun time of year, regardless of what type of fan you are, whether your team is in it and you're trying to make a push or your team, unfortunately, is out of it and you're looking towards the future. Sometimes you see some players that you wouldn't see otherwise, whether it be young guys or guys getting opportunities that you didn't know they were going to get. Seeing some new faces, losing some people that may be fan favorites, but it's certainly an interesting time of year. And this is a year where, quite frankly, we've said it, Don, like this seems like a wide open year. I know that there are two or three teams that we think are the cream of the crop here. But you mean to tell me that you can't see the Panthers losing a 7-game series to somebody or the Canucks losing a I mean, look, we thought Vancouver was unbeatable. And within the last, like, 2 or 3 weeks, they really struggled. And Florida, while they have 88 points, they've had moments this year where they've struggled a little bit. They take a lot of penalties. I think they have the second most penalties taken in the league. That's going to hurt you in the playoffs for sure if they keep that up. They certainly have the top-end talent. I know Lomberg scored last night, but, you know, if somebody could find a way to shut down those top two lines for Florida, where are they getting their scoring from? There's question marks on every team, which is why so many teams feel they need to make the run here.
And by the way, that Canucks-Kings game at 10:30 tonight, it should be a fun one, too. But Dave Maloney said it at the close of the broadcast last night that, you know, as of right now, at this second, the Florida Panthers are the best team in the NHL. But we said that about the Boston Bruins last year going into the playoffs.
Sure did.
And you just mentioned that, you know, they get bounced in the first round. That's kind of the beauty of hockey, that, yeah, it's great to be the best team in the NHL on March 5th. And it's great there in April, but what ultimately is going to happen here? Now, I still think the Panthers are very dangerous. They went to the Cup Final last year. So we'll wait and see. You know, Vancouver's going through their lull right now. Maybe they get back on the horse in the final quarter pole and get hot again.
I think they will.
But, you know, if that lull happened in the first round of the playoffs, then they're gone. And they don't have the pedigree either. But that's why it's going to be interesting to see. Texting with EJ, I think we'll have him tomorrow.
Beautiful.
And we'll just get his feelings on anything that's going on. I mean, followed, some trades could be happening even today. So just because it's 3:00 Eastern time on Friday, it doesn't mean that things won't happen between now and then. So should have EJ tomorrow. And then Friday, we're going to try to push it as late as we can to try to get everything in that we can for Friday. And of course, we'll have our, you know, top five of the week. But essentially, I think it's going to be discussing a lot of movement by the time we get to 2:00
Love
Eastern
movement.
On Friday when we record. But we'll be back again on Monday. I'll be back again tomorrow with EJ, and then Friday, the final show before the trade deadline. And
awesome.
We'll also, if you want to get in touch with us, at Don LaGreca, at Anthony Pusick, hashtag Game Misconduct. I will talk to you again tomorrow, Anthony. Well, actually, I'll see you in a couple of minutes.
That's right.
The K Show, but on this podcast, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Take your boat. It's raining.
I know. It's awful. We'll see you again tomorrow. This was the Tuesday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.